Hey everyone, this is John.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Super Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo.
There's Wales.
Wes is not here. And actually, we're shuffling the order of our shows. Usually we don't do the Super Nintendo Show till really late in the month. Mm-hmm. But Wes is not able to make it because Wes is... God, what's he doing?
You don't even want to know what Wes is doing. So there's this guy, Steve Bannon. I don't know if you've heard about him.
Okay.
Yeah, he's sort of an insider with Donald Trump's campaign.
Oh, yeah?
And he's either going to fuck or kill him. he hasn't decided yet, and he'll know when he gets to meet him face to face.
He's only going to do one or the other, though? It's not an and situation?
Maybe both. I mean, it could be like a praying mantis scenario.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll report back with what happened.
Yeah, we'll catch up with him when we do the Pokemon show next week, because usually we do the Pokemon show first.
And to his credit, Wes is a sweetheart. He helped us rearrange things, so that's why we're doing it out of order in the first place.
Yeah, he was totally willing to bow out. He offered some scheduling suggestions, but with Sunday like being the next
day, that didn't conflict with him either, having sex with or murdering a man.
Right, or a big sporting event.
Or a big sporting event, yes, that's true. Which, by the way, the Super Bowl is about to happen. Do you care?
Not really, no. Every year I follow less and less of football.
Yeah.
And it's not really anything particularly about the sport that I dislike. It's just, you know, after 8 grueling months of baseball, I need a break. I need a break from sports for a while.
Yeah.
We had 2 Super Nintendo games to talk about.
Yeah. From the same developer, correct?
No. Yes, actually. No, you're totally correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. So Capcom, and what we usually do is we talk about these things sort of semi-chronologically. Because of the whole holiday season, scheduling issues that we had, we ended up posting the show we recorded in December for December in January. So
yes.
we're about a month behind, but we're getting to the point in the Super Nintendo life cycle that there's not going to be a whole lot new to talk about, so we'll have a chance to like catch up on some stuff we may have missed.
What, bass fishing games?
Mahjong.
Mahjong, of course. A million Mahjong
probably
games.
Some pachinko. And I had this idea about going and like finding an emulator or a streaming service to go back and play like some Nintendo first party games that never got released in North America. So I was looking for ones like Advance Wars. Yeah, there's a Super Famicom Wars.
I've played that before actually.
Yeah?
Just on emulator. And it's very difficult because you can't read it.
Right.
I mean, I can't read it.
Yeah.
But
no one can read it.
It makes sense though. I mean, it's clearly if you've played an Advance Wars games, you're gonna know what all the pieces are and what they do. And the numbers are still numbers. Their numbers are our numbers, of course. So you can also just know that, like, if it's 1,000, it's infantry. If it's 3,000, it's mech. You know, they actually strictly adhering to the price structure of the items in the game, which is kind of interesting. It's like 6K for artillery, 7K for a tank, 4K for recon.
Maybe I'll see if I can find a ROM for that. We'll get in deeper with another time. Because I was looking...
I don't know how a game like that didn't make it to North America, because that is a fun game.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure what the process was for that either, because... I mean, we talked about a game like Front Mission, which is this really almost unintelligible strategy game.
Yeah.
Whereas you have something that's really accessible, like an Advance Wars, you'd think that'd be
it's like chess with money.
Yeah, and it's
really fun.
It's a Nintendo first party game. It's really, really rare that they don't localize their own stuff. Mm-hmm. But like other things that didn't localize, like there was one, maybe 2 Fire Emblem games on the Super Famicom.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking for something for that too. I basically only looked in one place. There's a...
Like after the most recent one? We just talked about a Fire Emblem game, didn't we?
We talked about a Fire Emblem game. But back in like 1994, they released one for the Super Nintendo. But again, never localized. And of course, that one would be even tougher to understand just in Japanese, because there is a lot more text-based stuff. It's not simply just... Hey, you got these 2 opposing numbers going against each other.
No, this one's got the white robe. This one's got the triangle hat, you know, which is your dark mage and your light mage. You got that.
But yeah, that might be kind of fun. I basically only looked in one place to see if these things were accessible, and it's this website. I think it's called Play SNES, and it just streams. Like you streams it through your browser. And there are ways to save, but they were not accessible there. Like a lot of Nintendo first party stuff is not accessible through that particular streaming service, so I might just
John
have to download.
John did show me the check that he received for this. So listener, be aware. He's got a check from this company.
I do, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Send me more.
Yep.
Send more money. PlaySNES.com.
PlaySNES.com.
It might be .net. I'm actually not sure.
Amazon.com.
Just every, if Amazon sold ROMs, I would of course like download ROMs from them. That'd be the best thing in the world.
Yeah. PlaySNES.com.
So the two games, do you have a particular place you want to start? We got Final Fight 3, we got Mega Man X3. Both came out in January of 1995.
Yeah.
Sorry, 96.
Up to 96. Oddly enough, the third installment, I guess, in both series mm-hmm. is interesting.
And there are a couple of interesting parallels, just like with the reception of these games. They were both released in January. Both of them were not really maligned, but critiqued, I guess, for just being like these
retreads, I guess, or yeah. for just delivering more of something that's
right.
good.
Right, more of the same, which, you know, 21 years later, I would kill for another Mega Man game or another Final Fight game. Like,
fair point.
How spoiled they were.
Yeah, and it's a, kind of the grass is always greener. It's like you want them to innovate, and then when they innovate in a direction you don't like, you're wondering why they lost sight of what made the series great. You know, right. So you could always oscillate to have the negative opinion about something like that.
True.
To your question, though, what do I want to start with? Your call. Yeah, Final Fight.
Yeah, let's go with Final Fight. Sure.
All right, cool.
So we actually played through this game twice.
That we did, yeah.
What'd you think?
A lot of fun. Yeah, I mean, it's true to the formula. Spiced it up in a lot of interesting ways. The game looks great. It plays as just about as well as you would expect. Mm-hmm.
But at this point, they have the formula nailed. Like, they know what they're
yeah.
doing.
Like, if you play the original Final Fight, you know, it's basically just a lot of punches. There are a couple of little throws you can do. You have a safety maneuver that chip damages you. So it's sort of like if you get, like, cornered or you're getting hit from both sides, it prevents you from taking a ton of damage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get the basics there. But then it seems like they're working in other stuff. Like, one character has an actual fireball that kind of doesn't go, like, across the screen, but it goes far beyond their reach.
Yeah. Well,
they have tons of different throws. There's dashes. There's, I feel like there's a ton of different new game mechanics that they've introduced that don't feel like they're essential to play the game. It still could be just as fun to button mash your way mm-hmm. through it and just, you know, wreak havoc. But it seems like there is kind of a bit more of a finesse approach to this game.
Yeah, and it seems to adopt some really light fighting game mechanics because yeah. you have those things. Like you have that thing where you like can hold one of the shoulder buttons actually back away from an enemy.
Oh, that's genius. That's actually really, and I think we discovered it like
once we'd already beaten the game.
Pretty much like we've already beaten and we're like, oh wow, this is awesome. And well, again, it's great for crowd control.
There are things like without a manual,
mm-hmm.
you really don't know what sort of mechanics are actually involved in the game. So we discovered the sort of like the quarter circle rolls for like throwing yep. a fireball. Like different characters will have different maneuvers. And I think all of them at least have one maneuver that involves a quarter circle in some sort of direction.
Yeah.
But then you have like the super meter that builds up, and we could not figure out how to execute those super moves.
Yeah, we would find ourselves burning it, and then sometimes we would pull off the move and it would look amazing, but it would be like against, you know, Brett, who has like
yeah.
3/4 of his damage already gone. And not against anybody good. And by the way, some familiar faces are back, of course. Andor is around again.
Yeah, Andor, of
course. They couldn't not include him. He's amazing.
Yeah, he might as well be a playable character at this point. He's so integral to the series.
Yeah, so.
But you have Hagar, of course, who's in all three. You have Guy, yeah. who's back from the first one.
Guy was in the second one, right?
Was he in
the first one was a dude, Cody.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Guy was in the
second one. But Guy was in the second one. Guy was one of the three in the second.
And then you have Lucia and Dean. And Dean is like this hulking character. He's like over 7 feet tall. And he's
kind of ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah. But I do want to get back to the super move because I actually did look up the move sets for this game. Because, the super moves are damn near inscrutable. So for Hagar, in order to execute his super move, once you have that meter built up, you have to grab, then do quarter circle down and attack.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So, and for Guy, his super move is called 1000 Fist Barrage, which is great.
Great.
You do, actually, in Guy's is the same. Grab, quarter circle down and attack. Actually, now I'm saying it, it's, everyone's the same. Lucia, her super is just down, down, forward, attack.
Okay. Well, that seems a little difficult to stumble into.
Yeah, and then for Dean, might as well just round them all off.
Yeah.
Grab, down, up, attack.
Okay, that makes sense. Because I feel like I was trying to spam certain methods of attack. I was especially interested in how, Because like when because we were playing together, we were playing doing a two-player version of the game. So friendly fight is enabled the whole time. So yeah. if you start going crazy with punches and kicks, you're going to hurt your other teammate. Or if you get a little bit overzealous with throws, you can easily throw a bad guy against your own guy.
Yeah. So you have to always be aware of the both the horizontal and vertical planes that you're on. Because like a lot of the game like does revolve around the grabs and the throws as one of the more effective fighting techniques.
Yeah. I mean, and not even just for sheer damage output, but just again, just for spacing. Mm-hmm. Just like you've got especially I imagine this is, comes into a greater play when you're by yourself playing the game and you've got to juggle a bunch of different bad guys. It's like, well, I can at least throw one, so by the time he is actually like gets up, comes back and is ready to fight again, I've knocked the other guy down. So you kind of juggle. You have to do a lot of juggling between guys. And mm-hmm. I noticed, like, for the most part, we were not challenged by anything but the bosses.
Right.
Because, like, they're coming in waves, and it's just like, you punch this wall, I'll punch this wall, and we're going to clean these guys up. You know, very rarely did we ever get overwhelmed. And, again, like, I know I don't remember what they call these guys. Fritz? I think it was, like, remember there was the guys, like, Hollywood in the first final fight that would come out and throw bottles?
No.
And they would shower and fire would streak out at you. Right? So those guys were called Hollywood, but they looked more like they were like Mexican assassins or something? Or maybe like Mid-Eastern evil guys with knives? Like, did you ever get what those guys were supposed to be?
No.
So
they're just a guy that came out and were assholes.
Yeah, so there's those guys. And in this version, they've been replaced by Fritz, who's like a little leprechaun, essentially. And again, there's lots of Fritzes, so it's not like there's one guy named Fritz. It's like there are all these they're short, like stocky, green, so clearly Irish, I guess. And they're throwing, you know, I don't know, bottles at you that they've lit on fire like little Molotovs.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny though because you'll be fighting like three guys who are all named Andor.
Yeah, that's true. Somebody did a playthrough for it was these guys because again I've been watching so much of the most recent AGDQ. Which, by the way, is a roaring success. Everyone should be checking those videos out. They're fantastic. But one was for Batman Returns, which is considered one of the worst games ever made for the Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
But and what makes the game difficult is that there's insanely convoluted and esoteric combos, basically just to do anything. Like, just to get anything accomplished in the game. It requires all these really funky moves. But the way that they were playing through it was also in co-op mode, and they had to use a lot of throws just to like basically keep people on the ground, because apparently that's like the best way to damage them. And from seeing that play out compared to this is drastically different. And but one of the things they actually do improve on is the names. Like, every single guy, and I think just about every single one has a unique name, and they all have different names.
That's the detail you pay attention to.
Yeah, like, well, you'll go in this room, and, like, every fighter is named after, like, a horse that won the Triple Crown or something. It's like, you know. And this one, yeah, they just kind of regrettably repeat a lot of names when they could have had a little fun with it.
Yeah, and you know.
How much information does that take up on a cartridge? Come on.
it's funny because, you know, You think about the detail that they put into a game like Final Fight. You have like all these really gorgeous backgrounds and like really fun mechanics, and the detail they put into Batman. Here's Batman, and he's fighting like, and this guy's Mike, and this guy's Fritz, and this guy's Barry. Like, who gives a fuck?
I don't know. It's one of those things where I guess you have to be on your 50th run through to really appreciate. Yeah.
And then you start to notice, like, hey, these are all the Triple Crown winners, which appeals, like, 0.2% of the people who are ever play the game. But those 0.2% of people will fucking love it.
Yeah, that's true. They're going to be eager to see this guy just come out of the screen. They're like, oh, it's fucking him. It's War Admiral.
It's Last T.
Yeah, exactly. But you bring up a good point, which is that Final Fight, as usual, looks great.
Yeah.
The backgrounds are really, really well designed. It's just, it's kind of, I guess, probably the last of its kind in a way. Like, there's always going to be games like, say, Metal Slug, which have this long lineage of doing gorgeous sprite artwork. And if anything, I feel like there's been a resurgence of it. There have been a lot of games coming out lately that seem to harken back to the old school sprite style of just, you know, just gorgeous detailed animation that doesn't necessarily have to be realistic. It can be artistic.
Mm-hmm.
And this was sort of the most complex and last version of a console that really delivered a ton of it.
Well, yeah, because yeah, after this, and we'll get into this in a few months when we start talking about the N64, you had the whole polygonal revolution of everything needs to be
3D. Yeah.
Yep. And it stays like that for quite some time. Like, once you get up to, you know, on the PS2 and the GameCube, you do have games like Beautiful Joe or Alien Hominid. These are 2D side-scrolling games, but the demand was for, like, the big, epic 3D polygonal adventures. And it wasn't really until you get to the Wii with games like Wario Land Shake It, or New Super Mario Brothers Wii, where you start to see Donkey Kong Country Returns, where you start to see, like, hey, like, these 2D games are still viable in a home console where people are expecting something bigger.
Yeah. And even though, like, Street Fighter, a Capcom property, Street Fighter's gone 3D truly, mm-hmm. the game still prefers to play itself as though it was that traditional 2D fighter.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a side-by-side platform two people play against one another on.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, a lot of people prefer that art style where making their own independent games because it stands the test of time better. You know, mm-hmm. you look at just the overall library of Super Nintendo games versus N64 games, Super Nintendo looks better.
Yeah, that's true.
And at the time, probably booting up Ocarina of Time, like, oh my god, this looks so amazing. A Link to the Past looks like garbage. Like, no, A Link to the Past is a better looking game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, you want to strive for realism. You think you want to strive for realism, but what you want to strive for is articulation and complexity.
Mm-hmm.
You want it to look beautiful. It doesn't necessarily have to look real.
Right.
And that's something that, I don't know. And we're kind of approaching the uncanny valley. I've seen a bunch of crazy clips of newer games that come out, and they really do get so close to the pin. I wonder if in 5 years I'll look back and be like, oh, this is, you know, the newest stuff that's come out is looking so much better than this. But really, like, this is the first time where I really do start to question, you know, whether or not this is supposed to be, like, real footage or a video game.
Hmm.
So,
yeah. We'll see.
It's the uncanny valley for that reason. It's never going to be truly achievable. We'll only be able to come this much closer to it.
Yeah, and it's a funny art form. It's an interesting art form because it is so closely tied with technology.
Yeah.
You know, the better that computers get, the more complex that video games can get. And usually that has gone hand in hand with they look better. And it seems to be slowing down. Like, how good things can possibly look seems to be slowing down. And now the extra power is done to augment things like artificial intelligence, like the patterns that your enemies will take and how they will adjust to the way you play, or just the sheer amount of stuff you can pack into a screen increases. So I'm interested to see how it continues going forward, because I don't know, at a certain point it has to come to a head and be like, okay, this is exactly how good, like, this is as true to life as it can possibly be, or, you know, even I don't know, what's the word for past true to life, like, just yeah.
Well, it's like retrofuturism. So, like, what the past believed the future would be, like hoverboards and
right.
or hover cars.
We should have them by now.
Yeah, exactly. It's retrofuturism.
Doesn't Running Man take place in 2017?
I think so, yeah. Oh. But, I mean, we're kind of trailing off the point, and I think that Final Fight, to get back to that, what we're saying about it graphically is, like, it looks about as good as a game can look on a Super Nintendo, and it's not just because it's really realistic, it's just the detail is just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Brimming out of every background and every, you know, little nook and cranny of the game seems to be filled with something that clearly took time to develop, something that they spent some effort, or at least some talent, in making.
And they are showing off a little bit, too, because those stages are long.
Yeah, those are
real long stages.
Yeah, relative to, like, I mean, because I played so much of the first Final Fight, I can pretty much, like, just, I remember everything about it, but the downtown sequence is this, you're basically going along the shore,
mm-hmm.
In front of that lake, and it is such a long, arduous fight that even by the end of it, like, when the sun starts coming up right before the boss, it's actually this kind of, like, nice moment where you feel the weight of time that it took you to complete this whole thing. And in this one, it's sort of like they made seven stages total, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Seven of them, and probably five of them are about as long as that.
Yeah.
They just go on and on. And thankfully, the Final Fight 3, and maybe it was also the fact that there were both of us playing, is a lot more, your character isn't as soft. You can take a hit pretty well.
Yeah.
And even the bosses, while they pack a punch, are not so evil or fiendish.
Yeah, I think we may have burned like two continues. Yeah. Just playing through it the first time we ever played it.
Yeah, that's a good point. The fact this is the first time we've approached the game. Yeah.
Apparently, yeah. These stages actually do have branching paths. There's different routes that you can take and actually affects your ending.
Which no way, I didn't know that.
I didn't even, like, we played through it twice. I didn't notice.
What would we have had to do? Were there, like, false walls we had to break down or something? Like, how did we, because I feel like the game pretty much kept you on rails.
I think it, some of it has to do with the characters you select. Uh-huh. From what I was seeing, I didn't read anything about there being those sort of false walls,
like decisions that you have to make. It's just sort of like who you are.
Yeah, there is no like decision like, do you want to kill this guy or do you want to let him live? Like there is nothing quite that with that sort of gravity.
Yeah, what does it tell you about the game that the staple guy that they've given you in every game is Hagar?
Like he's
it's always been Hagar.
Wasn't he the mayor in the first one?
But
mayor
Goldie Wilson. No, no, but like, what I mean to say is not just that he's a narrative part of this whole thing that we need him because his daughter keeps getting kidnapped, but just simply the fact that his style of play is the most baseline thing that they want to establish is that you're slow and brutish, but you hit really hard and you love the throw.
Yeah.
And whereas every other, and you have great reach, whereas every other character tends to be some other variant where they're faster or they have quicker attacks, but at the sacrifice of range. They're not so big and hulking. I don't know. I just think it's nice that they've, in the same way, because, and this is a very, very off-tangent comparison, but I remember we were talking about playing Donkey Kong Country 2.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like, you don't have Donkey anymore. So the game feels like it's missing, like, the meat. It's missing the big fat guy that you get to play as. You know, and it's nice that Hagar has always been there as a staple character.
Yeah.
Maybe this is me just making a point I wanted to make. But I like that Hagar is always there, and I like that he's sort of the default level that the game thinks you should play as. Otherwise, they wouldn't have introduced or swapped out characters like they have.
Yeah, sure, and it does give you that sort of familiarity to like, okay, there's Hagar, I know how he's going to play.
Yeah.
So you have that immediately like intuitive character to where like, okay, I'll select him, I'll figure out how this game works, and then I can experiment with different characters.
Yeah.
But, you know, Cody, I actually didn't play as Cody. Did he feel familiar, like, as he was in Final Fight 2?
He was in the original? No, Cody was the original guy in Final Fight.
I thought, Guy is in Final Fight 2 and 3.
Yeah, he played actually really similar to that.
Okay.
That's, he's got really short range, very quick attacks. I don't know.
He's got the fireball.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool.
The girl character, Lucia, I can't remember the girl character in Final Fight 2, but Lucia in Final Fight 3 actually was a character that I kind of liked because I tend to gravitate more toward the quicker characters who are also a little bit squishy.
Mm-hmm.
But I like having the mobility, and she I figured out a technique with her. I think it was like a quarter circle forward plus an attack, just sent her like into this combo where she can like land 3 or 4 hits in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just go with your regular melee combo, you can usually get, I think it's 3, 4 to 5 hits before before you're knocking the enemy back. So, you know, you do 3 regular melee combo, then you do her forward combo, and you're landing like 6, 7 hits.
Nice.
And then knocking them back. So yeah, it was pretty fun to string all those moves together.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Who is the tall guy again?
Dean.
Well, that was Dean's big thing.
Tall blonde guy.
He had a reach. He had a grab. Like, that was his actual... It wasn't a fireball or any sort of, like, chain attack. It was just that he could reach out and grab someone that was far off from his position, which is actually kind of great.
And then he's got his electric uppercut.
And his electric uppercut, of course. Yeah. Why wouldn't you? Which in the bosses?
And none of them, except for Andor, none of them sticking out in my mind.
Yeah.
Can you remember...
Not especially, quite frankly. They're all kind of... And maybe that's because they weren't so difficult.
Maybe.
That they don't resonate like they should.
I remember the final boss.
Oh, but... No, they bring back the cop. That's one of the guys that they bring back. Dude, because there's this... I think he's in like the second or third stage. You basically go through this downtown scenario where it's like people are partying or something. And then you get to the end of it and it's sort of like these cop cars are all lined up. And then this... cop shows up and he spits out a piece of gum that can heal you a little bit.
Oh, right.
And then you get into this fight with him and he is pretty rough. But in this game, he's actually, I assume it's the same guy because it's basically just a big fat cop.
Well, you know, and then you know, I think that kind of leads you to presume, like, hey, maybe you're the villains in all this. Like, you're going around fighting cops and beating up children because there's that one little child character.
I always presume it's because he's corrupt. He's a corrupt, he's a bad cop. Okay. You know, he's not a good guy, right? Like,
he's a dirty cop.
Yeah, he's probably, like, he's on the payroll of this guy that lives up in his, you know,
Mr. X or whatever big his tower name is. And...
That's kidnapped your girlfriend or whatever. It's like, jeez, what a jerk. This guy's the mayor and you're kidnapping his daughter? Mayor. Like, what? A lot of the game doesn't make sense.
Right, because there are certain points where you're just swarmed by women and have to beat them all up.
It's true.
Feels weird. It feels real wrong.
Yeah, and then maybe that's the point that they're trying to make is by the third one. Like, you've become a little addicted to the bloodlust. You're just kind of wanting to do this now.
I like this analytic approach to the narrative structure of Final Fight.
Yeah, like everyone's just trying to help you and stop you, and you just keep fighting everybody.
You can't help but beat the shit out of everyone.
It's all you know. Since you got fired from being the mayor after brutally murdering a child. Mayor!
But like the end level is you going through a mental institution, you're beating up the orderlies, you realize the whole thing was a sick delusion.
I think we pretty much nailed it. That's what it's about.
The boss I remember is the final boss. And I remember the final boss because we beat him. I was like, okay, that was the final boss.
That was the end.
Because like there's a helicopter and he like drops in, you're fighting him on a roof. And you fully expect, okay, I feel like the ending is coming up pretty soon, so we're going to fight this guy, and then it's going to take us to the final boss. Like, no, that was him.
Yeah, and maybe that's what part of the deception of it is, that like he looks like he's just a big brute. He looks like he's the grunts you've played throughout the whole game as a bad guy. And if you think of the villain from the first, I for the life of me cannot remember the villain from the second final fight, the final boss, but the first final fight, the villain in it is, again, in a wheelchair. And you basically have to knock him out of the wheelchair. He can walk. He has turns out he can walk and he has a crossbow.
Uh-huh.
So it's one of the weirdest fights because your bosses, aside from katana, don't really use a lot of weapons. You know, you kind of just got to go in it and kick their ass.
Yeah.
And in this one, he's actually like this scrawny little dude in a wheelchair and he's got a crossbow that he's going to shoot you with. Like, it's just strange.
Hmm.
But then the boss in this one, he's like supposed to be, I guess, some kind of thug, like gangster or something that has been, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe you could say it's sort of like he, has created lawlessness and chaos and you're supposed to be the one that restores it. So again, the plots of these games are threadbare, but again, abrupt ending to the game.
Yeah.
Like you think it should be. A little more, like, there was a reason we did all this. Like, why isn't this boss different or cooler? Why does he just kind of look like all of the other gangsters and thugs we thought we just mowed down this entire game? Like, through 7 stages, through quite a bit of gameplay happens to get to this point, and it's kind of a letdown.
Yeah, I mean, bosses are a tough, probably a tough thing to pull off.
Yeah.
From a design standpoint in a side-scrolling beat-em-up game. Because the boss fights I remember from Final Fight... I remember the guy in Final Fight 2 who, like, ran along the railings and threw bombs at us. I remember him because he was annoying.
Oh, well,
not because it was a particularly good boss fight.
That's a guy that would make a transition to Street Fighter. Like his name's Rolento.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the guy that had the bow staff and the grenades and he had that funky stance. I think he's supposed to be French or something. Like, he was always, on the tips of his toes and he had a beret, I think.
Because, yeah, in Final Fight 2, you're traveling all through the world and beating up all sorts of Europeans.
That's right. When you go to a place and it just was like the name of the place. It's like Netherlands. And all I know in the Netherlands is that there's mines everywhere.
Just fucking landmines all over the place. They never dug them up.
Yeah.
But Final Fight 3 is, I mean, in a lot of ways, just the end of the series. You had like the 3 main Final Fight games. There was a game called Mighty Final Fight, which was released on the NES. I'm just pulling up the year here. In 1993.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is interesting, because after Final Fight 1, I think before Final Fight 2, though, if I remember my dates correctly. But then there was a 3D fighting spinoff called Final Fight Revenge, and then I think in 2006, there was a game Final Fight Streetwise, and that was for PS2 and Xbox. But, you know, from 1994 6 to 2006. You got a 10-year gap between Final Fights, and we haven't seen anything from the series in the last 11 years.
Well, I mean, also these side-scrolling brawlers, just as a style of gameplay, is kind of a relic. I mean, because Capcom had this, and then they had Street Fighter, and they saw what, I guess, people wanted to play, which was a head-to-head, more competitive version of essentially what they were doing. There's just not really... I'm sure there are like dozens of brawler games that come out every year, but there's kind of a reason we don't see that much of them anymore, because there's a preferred method of gameplay, and it just doesn't quite do it.
And it does... It's a genre that lends itself a lot to repetition. Yeah. You know, you're not... The game doesn't really evolve a whole lot as you go. And I think that, you know, you saw a lot of these in the 90s, especially in the early 90s, on these 2D platformers, because there are holdovers from just quarter munchers and arcades. Like, it's real easy to design a game that, you know, just going to end up taking a lot of damage and pumping a few dollars worth of quarters in there. Like, hey, we got your money. Thanks. Mm-hmm. So, as game design evolves, especially when you enter the 3D era, there's not really much of a place for those type of games that are just designed for you to...
run around and...
hack away at things.
People up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think of the games that did it so well. I mean, like all of those Ninja Turtle games or Gauntlet or other games like that where it lets
Streets
you play,
of Rage on the Sega systems.
Play as a party. You know, that's probably part of the fun is that actually you get to team up with your friends and play.
Yeah. I think that really is the appeal of it.
Maybe that would have been something for them to look into if it was on the Wii. Like, that would have been kind of fun if it was a 4-player brawler.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually the only game on the Wii that I can really think of that's even slightly similar to a 2D side-scrolling beat-em-up is Mad World. Mm-hmm. Because that's a game where it's just about going around just beating the shit in really silly ways out of a ton of people.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have that cooperative element to it, but...
Yeah, well, and there is fun in chasing combos and chains and stuff like that, and juggling and seeing just how absurdly gruesome you could kill somebody in there,
right.
Which was pretty funny.
I don't think I ever beat that game.
I think I did. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I did.
I think I got as far as, like, you start fighting robots at a certain point. I think it's as far as I got.
If I remember correctly, it ends in, like, this big open pit area, and I think you might throw the bad guy into something. It has been probably, like, 7 or 8 years since I played the game. But I'm pretty sure I beat it. I liked it.
Okay. Anything else about Final Fight before we move on here?
Nah, that's enough on that, I think.
Yeah, I think this is a game... that it's an expensive cartridge. Actually, I could probably open up Amazon. I'll do that at the end of the show when we wrap up Mega Man 3. I'll give prices for both games. But it's an expensive cartridge, even used. You're looking at, I think, over $100 last time I looked.
God, that's expensive.
Yeah. Mega Man X3 is the same way. But you can get Final Fight 3 on the Wii U Virtual Console for $8.
Yeah, it's probably the preferred way to do it.
Yeah, the only like added feature, I guess, is save states, but... I mean, not really a necessary feature for this type of game.
This seems like the least challenging of all of them, so it's not like it's really essential.
It's true. I wonder why that is. Like, do you think that enemies are just taking more damage, you're taking less? Is that really all there is to it?
I would assume so. Hmm. Really? I mean, because, again, you're seeing a lot of the same guys. You're seeing Andor, you're seeing the Bull guys, the Bill, whatever his name, something Bill, Big Bill or whatever, the guy that, like, charges at you with his head.
And you know what? I also noticed that Andor doesn't really do his chest charge all that much in 3.
Yeah, like in the original games, he would get after it. He would just hit you with it and hit you with it and hit you with it. Like, even as you're trying to get up, he's like trying to just chain this thing into you.
Fucking asshole.
So yeah, maybe that's the other thing. Maybe they've been softened up. They don't attack as aggressively.
I wonder what would happen if we cranked the difficulty up to hard. I wonder if
that's another thing. Yeah, we are playing... I don't think the original Final Fight even had a difficulty mode. I don't know. Maybe it did.
Hmm. Anyway, let's take a break and then come back with Mega Man X3.
All right.
Other game on tap for this month is, of course, Mega Man X3. We mentioned it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It is the third game in the Mega Man X franchise. franchise. The fourth Mega Man game on the Super Nintendo, though, because Mega Man 7 is also on the Super Nintendo. We talked about that one before. So, we haven't beaten this one yet, but we put a bit of time into it. Just initial thoughts. What'd you think of X3?
Well, I talked about it a little bit with you off air, I guess. Like, I'm not the biggest Mega Man player out there. Like, I know the series well enough that I've dabbled in a few of the games, but I'm not, like, one of those hardcore Mega Man guys. Some people seem to know so much about the series. But, from what I've seen of it, and much like Mega Man X, I played a little bit of X, played a little bit of X2. This is, again, another great installment. It's them building again on what seems to work really, really well for this series, which is fun platforming with slowly ramping up techniques than you learn. You get stronger as a character.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, I mean, there is an RPG element to this, which is totally removed from a Final Fight game, right?
Yeah, there are at least health expansions. There's HP expansions.
Yeah.
There are, and the Mega Man X series also has things where your body augments. Like, you can get a better charge shot by getting an arm augment, or your air dash by getting the legs. One of the best ones, though, in this game was the helmet. When you get the helmet upgrade, it allows you, in your stage select, to see how many collectibles are in that stage, and it will tell you which ones you've gotten. Which, for someone like me, where I want to go into the final boss.
That's genius.
Best equipped, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even like when you enter the stage, it'll pull up a quick grid of the stage and say, your power-ups are here.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's actually really great and intuitive, and it doesn't make you beat your head against the wall playing the same stage over and over again to try to find something that might not even be there.
True, yeah. I'm a little bit torn between the idea of being able to pull up that map whenever and see where you are in relation to that particular power-up, because I do like...
Isn't that kind of how Metroid games are?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, Metroid games expect a lot more of you as far as solving puzzles
and
navigating the chamber.
Yeah, it's much more lateral in the way you have to navigate. You're going to backtrack and use your power-ups in different places. But, what was the Gargoyle Quest game? Firebrand?
Demon's Crest?
Demon's Crest. Yeah. Even Demon's Crest had a little bit more expectations as far as like exploration goes than a Mega Man. But you can see like those elements seeping in with the X series. And I forgot where I was going with this. But, I think...
Oh, you simply like the fact that you now can search for items wherever you want. You can build the character however you think is needed, which is great. Like, if you find out that maybe as you're playing through towards the end of the game that you're a little squishy, maybe rather than being like, I need all of these other crazy power-ups, you're like, I simply need health.
Right.
Where can I go find some health?
Yeah. And it is nice because it allows you to, of course, re-enter stages. That's nothing new for a Mega Man game to this point. But
the power tanks, right? The health tanks.
Where you can like just have a reserve of health and replenish, which is nice. It must be real nice to have a lot of those when you're going through that final boss rush mode. Yeah. That would be fucking great.
Yeah. Which, but as you say, is kind of a staple of the Mega Man games.
Yeah. But you know, the bosses in this Mega Man game, which is really the main attraction of any Mega Man game, is the boss and figuring out the
strategy, the optimal way of doing it.
Right, and which weapons are going to work on which bosses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're quite as memorable as some other Mega Man X bosses, and they certainly took a step back in terms of just the creativity of the stages, the stage layouts for those boss arenas. Because you think like
half of them are bull rushes.
Right.
Half of them are basically you with a wide enough space to run back and forth while trying not to get steamrolled by a bad guy.
Right. And then the other half is just like a one-screen room, and you have to...
Dodge waves of attacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like where it's self-position, less focus on your character, focus on the full screen, and find the negative space where your character needs to be to avoid the attacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But, you know... Even though the design of the fight structure in there isn't all that inspired, I do like the patterns that you have to recognize. Like the bull rush ones aside, those ones play out pretty similarly. Well, like all the yeah, other
you're
bosses.
Not, you're not like worried about tells. You're not mm-hmm. worried about like, oh, its head is here. That means it's going to do this thing.
Or right. It's, just sort of like, it's not punch
just
out.
Get the fuck away from it and then jump over its back and shoot it in the balls or something.
Right. But some of the other ones, like the wasp boss or
that one seems
the
very
sea
clever.
Ones. Yeah.
Because it's got a way to stun or target you. It's going to be constantly throwing out the bees that take up. You know,
there's like five bees and it's yeah. like a quarter of the screen.
Exactly. So you're kind of constantly being corralled into an area where you don't want to be and it can hit you easily. And mm-hmm. then on top of that, you're actually trying to kill it. You actually have to right. hit it at some point.
And that was a total pain in the butt. We probably yeah. burned a half hour trying to beat down because that was the first boss we went after.
Only to discover there is, as usual in Mega Man games, there is a gun that is an easy solution to this.
Right,
thing.
Right. And, you know, I was, I looked up. You know, after we had gotten through, like, we beat four of the bosses.
Yeah.
And our first play session. After that, I started looking up some techniques for, you know, what bosses are... And we beat some of the ones you should have done last.
Oh, really?
Before...
Well, I mean, we were beating our head against the wall there and abusing some save states yeah. to get some of those done, so...
You have yeah. such little health to start out with. When you go after that wasp, it's a two-hit kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just dead in two hits. Mm-hmm.
And again, like, if we could have just started with the Bull Rush guys, I think we would have done a lot better.
Yeah.
The fights would have been prolonged. It would have been agonizing because it would be, like, little chip damage here and there. But that's a stable pattern. Really easy and steady. And I think that even a novice player could probably get through some of those if they could just have a little bit of patience.
Yeah. And the structure of the game is, of course, like a typical Mega Man structure. You have your eight Robot Master bosses that you can go after. And once you've beaten them, you can replay their stage, but you don't have to fight them again. There are a couple of twists to the formula in here. For example, you can swap into Zero. You can play Zero for a bit.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. I guess they made that just so you could kind of easy mode coast through stuff and not worry about accruing so much damage on your Mega Man.
Yeah, and we played a Zero a couple of times, and we did a couple of times primarily to just preserve some health as Mega Man, because we figured out that you're not going to be able to fight bosses as Zero. It won't allow you to swap in. And then we actually got to a boss as Zero, and there's a little text bubble that came up. It's like, hey, you take care of this now, X.
Yeah. Mega Man's just napping on the ground with a pillow, and he's like, no, get up, go, fight.
You got to fight this boss. I'm going to go do something else. I found out in some research that if Zero dies, it's permanent. That's permanent death.
Seriously?
Yeah, for your run through there. I don't know if the password...
God. It doesn't give you a password.
I don't know if the password is going to... So if Zero dies, and then you beat some stuff, collect some stuff, and then game over, and have to reset and use the password, I don't know if Zero is still dead.
Ooh.
But there are some effects on the way the narrative...
And the screen just pops up when you try to enter the code. It's like, we are so ashamed.
It's just a Japanese guy face palming.
Yeah, exactly.
The death of Zero will actually affect different things throughout the game. So if Zero dies, I usually at the end of these Mega Man X games, you beat the final boss, Zero comes in and rescues you from the explosion. That's just kind of the typical ending.
Yeah.
If Zero dies, he's not there to do it. But then also, I think one of your boss fights against Vio plays out a little bit differently if Zero is not around. Also, they're like different. There's a power up you can get. You can actually get Zero's sword by allowing him to die in one boss fight. I think there's one boss fight, and I think it might be against Vile, that you can actually have Zero fight. And if you intentionally let him die and then beat Vile as X, you can get the sword.
No way.
Which is kind of funny.
That's pretty cool. It's a neat little touch.
Yeah, one of these other twists, you might have noticed in some of these levels that we're running through that occasionally we'll come across, we'll open a door and we'll enter this arena and then just exit out the other side. Nothing happens.
Yeah.
Once you beat, I think it's two, maybe four Robot Masters, there's this cutscene, and it's like the final boss character and a couple of lackeys, and he's like,
so
all
wait,
right.
Is Vile the final boss character?
No.
Because you just beat him, and then you do the boss rush, and then there's a bad guy after that?
Right.
Okay.
And I forget what his name is, but... He sends out these other two lackeys. They're not like the regular eight Robot Masters. They're two other dudes. Uh-huh. And those two other dudes have a random chance of spawning in those arenas.
Oh, so these are fights you may not have to do, but could potentially?
I think it is possible that you don't ever stumble across them. You could, and maybe it's not. I mean, I just stumbled across them just on happenstance and beat them both. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of them wasn't all that tough of a boss fight. The other one was a total pain in the ass. Yeah. He was another one of those, like, bull rush bosses where he just rams up against the wall. But you're doing this really tiny arena, so you do not have that much time to get up on the wall and hop over him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just like these two random, you don't get anything from beating them. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get a power up or anything. But it's another one of those little things, like, hey, always be on your toes, because at any point here, you might have this boss that's going to come in and totally wreck your face at the worst possible time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, it doesn't really add anything to the formula. And you know, we've mentioned the password before. Again, we're at the fourth Mega Man game on the Super Nintendo. Still no ability to save.
Yeah.
You just got to always be writing down your passwords.
Yeah.
Which... I mean,
save
states make this game so much more playable.
Yeah.
Because you're able to just set your save point right before doing a boss, figuring out what they're weak to. It would be, like, I don't have enough time in my life to run through these stages over and over. Like, okay, I game over against this boss. Let me get to him again and try out a different weapon on him.
Well, I don't know. Like, I mean, like in Zelda Link of the Past, you can pretty much just save anywhere you want, anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
And you got all the equipment and gear. I don't understand how this game is any more complex that wouldn't allow for that.
I don't know. I don't think it's a technical issue at all. There must have been some sort of reason to where, like...
To sharing?
Maybe.
You give somebody a code and they now have the code to do whatever. Maybe it's something they could put in their Nintendo Journal thing that they were...
Maybe.
They just canceled, sadly. Right, and I'm talking about the Nintendo Power. I'm sure that it was a thing that was in Nintendo Power magazines. Was like
maybe some passwords.
Yeah, they're like, here's some cheat codes. They're not cheat codes, but like, yeah, here's codes to be at the very end with every possible thing you could want.
Then you just beat the game in 5 minutes.
Exactly. Or like just dabble in like wanting to have some fun. Or maybe it's everything beaten without a single item. Like, couldn't that be interesting if you had to like do it in the hardest mode possible? Like do the boss rush.
Yeah, that would be kind
zero
of
zero tanks. Zero
health expansions.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if you could get to the final boss without like your armor augments. Because there was that one point in a boss stage that we were playing where you had to use the up dash to get up there.
Then it's probably a mandatory mechanism.
Well, I mean, if you were really good at wall jumps, you might be able to get up that.
Shit. That would be obnoxious.
Yeah.
But like in NBA Jam, I remember the thing about NBA Jam is that they had all of those codes and cheat codes and shit. So you could, like, hop into games and build, like, have characters pre-built to be, like, weirdos and stuff like that, so.
Did we talk about Tournament Edition?
I don't know.
Because I think Tournament Edition came out in 95.
Did it?
I think so.
That? I don't know. I talked ad nauseum about Hang Time, which is
right. Bill Lambier's Combat Basketball.
No. we could do a whole bunch. Yeah, we could do Shaq Fu.
Oh, God. I think we did Shaq Fu.
Barkley Shut Up and Jam.
That would be an interesting one to do.
Yeah. There's actually someone made a parody of that called Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden. It's like an RPG.
Oh, that's awesome.
but
him and Larry Bird.
Yeah.
That's great.
Try some other ones out there.
Yeah, maybe that's a whole separate show. We're just talking about all the basketball games.
Might as well, shit.
Because then, like, once you get into,
I already talked about the Michael Jordan one, which was Chaos in the Witty City.
Oh, yeah.
That was so bad.
Because that was just a side-scrolling action game, wasn't it?
It wasn't even... It was attempting to be that. It was a promotional placement for Hanes and for Gatorade. Is really what it amounted to. You know?
With, like, Big Macs lying on the ground and stuff? That's your health?
Yeah, no, it was just sort of like, you're fucking... You would think at one point he would play a little bit of basketball. He would just let you shoot a basketball into a hoop.
Does he like even throw basketballs as a projectile or anything?
He does technically do that.
Okay.
But no, the game just fails to deliver anything exciting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In case anyone skipped ahead, we are not talking about anything Capcom made anymore.
Right.
We're not talking about Chaos in the Windy City.
Well, it's... I think there's a ton of basketball video games, especially in the 16-bit era. It's kind of like...
Translates well, right?
Yeah.
It's fun. Basketball is huge. I mean, basketball is as big as it now as it has ever been. But especially for me growing up in the 90s, basketball was everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basketball was amazing. And they had all these great players. And I don't know, it was so exciting just to watch the game. But
And we had the Magic in Orlando. It was new.
Yeah, we had the Magic. And the Magic were really good then, too, yeah. Which is pretty cool. But, like, I remember liking, you know, fucking everybody in the NBA, I feel like. I like the team that I hate probably now more than any is the Hawks. Just as an aging Magic fan, I just hate the Hawks so much. I don't even care about Miami. Like, Miami sucks, but whatever. You know,
What is it about the Atlanta Hawks that infuriates you?
Because they're not good either, but they're better than us. I just can't stand them. No, it's just, they're always beating us, and I like a lot of the players they have. Well, they don't have them anymore, thank God, but they had this guy, Jamal Crawford.
And he played for the wrong team. I understand that.
Yeah, so Jamal Crawford is just a fucking sharpshooter. He's amazing. He's just one of those guys you want to love, but the reason why he built this reputation of being so good is because he was destroying the Magic all the time. He was like a one-man.
He just had their number?
Yeah, just like every time he would play. He was the king of the fuck you three. Like, he would just win them so many games where, like, the Magic should have had a chance. I don't know. I digress, but... Yeah,
I do appreciate that in basketball there seems to be a little bit more parity going through the league right now because years and years ago,
yeah,
4 or 5 years ago at this point, me and my buddy Ralph, we looked through like the last 20 NBA championship winners and it was six teams. Six teams had won the last 20
true
NBA championships. It seems to be getting a little bit...
I think it's the players. I think really, if anything, this has shown that it's a players' league. Because the teams that are constantly... I think it's... Just look at LeBron. Look at how LeBron's been in... I'm not going to speculate on the stat, but I think if you add up his career, he's probably missed the finals in maybe three seasons.
Hmm.
You know, he's just a staple in the finals in the same way that you're always seeing Popovich and Duncan in the finals. And granted, Duncan's retired, but the Spurs are still an amazing organization. And now we're seeing the rise of Golden State. Like, how long can Golden State do this? That's the big question, I think. Yeah, it's players. Like, if these players decided to leave and go somewhere else, they could just as easily rebuild it. You know? I don't know. It's...
I always appreciate
it's better than the rivalry that it was just like, oh, the Lakers are going to be great and the Celtics are going to be great and everyone else sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, granted, it's an amazing stat that Bill Russell has 11 rings, but that doesn't make for good basketball. And right, if anything, it probably hurt the product. Like, to just have imagine if one team won 11, just won 11 titles straight, like...
It'd be annoying. That'd be infuriating.
Yeah.
I'd be so pissed off.
It would suck. And granted, I say this as someone that is rooting for the Pats in the Super Bowl.
But way to be a front runner on that one.
Oh, man. I've liked the Pats for a while.
Since it's about 2001, right?
That's the thing. Like, I mean, you know, if there are diehard Pats fans that were born the year in which they won a Super Bowl and have, like, seen them win four more. You know, it's like, that's got to be awesome.
Yeah, that's got to be a good feeling.
Four total.
Okay.
Four total. Four total over 15 years, though. That's just a sign of a really good team.
Yeah.
It's 11 in 15 years.
There's been some shady shit going on, but, I mean, they have staying power, that's for sure. You think that, of like, all these players, they get older and they start sucking. Like, no, then they're sticking around.
And anybody that has remotely paid attention to my interest in sports knows that I like Golden State, and I like Pats, and maybe that makes me a front runner. I hesitate to call myself a fan of any of them. Because I just like, it's like it's television, right? Like, are you going to watch a good TV show? Or are you going to watch a bad TV show because you're loyal to bad television? You know? I watch more Golden State games than I watch the Magic, but I would kill to see the Magic win a title. And if it were the Magic and Golden State, of course I'm going to root for the Magic. When the hell is that ever going to happen? But, you know. At any rate, I like watching the sport played the best that it could be played. And I think that's why I like the Pats, and that's why I like Golden State.
But Mega Man X 3 is a video game.
Mega Man X 3 is a video game. And you got the Red Sox. So
yeah, hell yeah. Sox too. Yeah.
That's got to feel nice.
It was nice to win again, but after 2 years of being like the worst team in their division, it is nice to see them win. It would have been nice if they, you know, won some playoff games, but you know, I'm not gonna demand a World Series every year. I mean, it's unrealistic.
The team that swept you made it to the World Series.
Sure did.
So yeah, that's saying something.
Yeah, Cleveland's tough. Cleveland's a tough team. Yeah. I certainly underestimated them. Like, I thought that once the Red Sox got into the playoffs, once they had clinched, I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, they got their punch in their ticket to the, you know, at least the ALCS, the Championship Series of the American League, because they're either going to get Toronto, who's not very good, or they're going to get the Rangers, who aren't very good, or they're going to get Cleveland, and two of their best pitchers are injured. They're not going to make the playoffs. And they got Cleveland, and their bottom three pitchers beat us.
That's bad.
Yeah, which feels great.
Well, then how do you feel about Theo Epstein going to the Mariners? I'm just fucking with you. I'm
fine. Great. I'm surprised.
How do you feel about the Mariners as being the next dynasty?
I would expect Epstein to go to like the Padres next. On the next team, that's like, amazing. No world championships.
Go to the Expos.
did it in fucking Boston, and then wins a championship for the Chicago Cubs. He's going around like handing out world championships to anyone who wants.
No, it's got to be the Expos. He just goes to a construction site in Montreal and is like, guys, here's your hats.
We need everyone's
first game's next week.
We need everyone's ring size right now. Yes. All right. So, this has been sports talk for the last 10 minutes.
I kind of stuck this one in here. God.
But Mega Man X3.
Closing thoughts on Mega Man X3.
Again, I think it's a solid Mega Man. I think it makes a really nice improvement on the Mega Man formula by adding that sort of collectopedia to it, where you can tell, like, hey, I should replay this stage and get this other power-up. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool that it has so many different branching ways you can play it, with, like, letting Zero die. Also, there are... You get weapon augment, you get body armor augments for your arm, your legs, your torso, and your head. And you can get a secondary one for any one of those four.
Mm-hmm.
And they're scattered throughout the levels. Or if you forego all of those in one of the final stages, you can get one that just augments everything.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
So if you have the patience to wait, you're going to get ramped up everything about your character.
Right, right.
Nice.
And, you know, we didn't really talk about riding the little mech thing. That's something you can collect. You can actually collect upgrades to that to give it different functionalities. Didn't seem to be necessary to anything we were doing, though.
It was useful for cracking through a few puzzles, I guess.
Oh, that's
like
right.
Finding some hidden spots in the same way that you'd use a Rhino in Donkey Kong.
Yeah, it got us a life expansion that one time. But, you know, it's one of those things, and I mentioned this about Shantae, Half Genie Hero, when I talked about that game a few weeks ago. They give you these power-ups, and then they're never really useful for just regular game progression. They're just kind of like these cool gadgets that you can pull out.
Mm-hmm.
And they do things, like the regular weapons are useful because there's the one boss that's going to be really useful against them. And they do have one or two weapons that are also useful for uncovering secrets.
Well, you have, I mean, not to derail the thought, but like just thinking about the way you can use the lightning weapon, right?
Mm-hmm.
How the lightning weapon is just perfect for getting up walls. If you're surrounded by bad guys, it's going to keep you clean.
Yeah.
It seems like there's some kind of navigational purpose to maybe at least that gun.
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite gun?
I like the lightning one. I'm actually starting to like the, I forget the name of it, but it's like the scattershot one.
The machine gun one, or is
so there's something like a machine gun, but that gun,
that gun is pretty cool. Like that's kind of out of nowhere too, because it's, you know, normally his weapons are very, like, here's a blob of acid, or, you know, here's a drill or something, and this was just like, let me just spray and pray a machine gun against the wall.
It is pretty cool, like, they look like mines, but you send out these mines and they're slow traveling, and they just latch onto an enemy and make them kill themselves. Like, an enemy ran itself into spikes because it was latched.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But that was a pretty cool little gun. I mean, most of the other guns, like, there's one, I think it's called a gravity bomb. And it doesn't really have much effect, except when there's swarms of enemies. It kind of draws them in, and then is useful against the wasp boss. Which, I mean, you shoot one out, it just does constant damage, which is really cool.
Oh, that was just pretty much as easy a Mega Man kill as I've ever seen on a boss.
That was the win button.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the criticisms that apparently this game has garnered?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, from what you're saying, yeah, this feels like it's kind of derivative of all of the great games. Are they afraid to spice up the formula? Like, how would they improve upon it? Certainly not Mighty No. 9. How would they make a better Mega Man game? What is good about it, and what are the components that you could re-gear? Like,
you know,
from your perspective, what do you think?
From my perspective, I think one thing that you could do to improve Mega Man... The first thing that comes to mind is having more uses for the actual power-ups that you get from Robot Masters, like make them more integral to progressing through stages, but then you're looking at, like, okay, then you have a very much more tightly restricted order that you have to go through. Does that disrupt the spirit of what Mega Man is? Maybe. It kind of makes it more like Metroid, to where, like, hey, you have to have this power up in order to get through to this next area.
Could you foresee a, maybe they kind of like the roguelike, where you play to achieve something to get stuff, and then you build a new character from that point. Like, death is a permanent thing, but upon death, like, I play this game Rogue Legacy a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like that, where you are essentially collecting stuff to improve your character, and then the next time you die, your child takes your place, and you just play this character. So it's that they call it a legacy. It's like, you play through all of these characters to accomplish this thing. Maybe it'd be interesting if every time you rolled a new Mega Man character, and then from there, you had this assortment of items and gear, and you could play through the game from that point. And then again, and maybe an entirely new, randomly generated game. Where you just kind of, in general, have waypoints that can get you to certain areas that will lead you to those bosses. So if you wanted to spend your time farming, you could just play in just this. If you have a waypoint here and a waypoint here, and you've beaten this boss and this boss, this whole area is just your playground to harvest and hunt and find secrets and unlock stuff.
Or maybe you could harvest things like those energy tanks and fill them up for your, and you could choose to, like, use them, or you can just pass them along to your successor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also thinking, like, what if there's some sort of RPG elements to it, like what they do with health, but then you also do that with maybe your firepower or your rate of fire, or
yeah,
how quickly your character can move. And the more you're able to progress as one character, the more you're able to pass down. So maybe, like,
so you could have like a Mega Man assassin or like a Mega Man tank.
Yeah.
Where it's like one guy is clearly built to have more health, more damage.
Yeah.
And the other one is just like critical hits or something like that. I mean, granted, we don't have to get into that whole RPG side of it, but
right. So what you're not doing is actually applying those statistical upgrades to your current character. But if you're able to play through a lot of the game with that one character, you're able to then, like, have this pool of points, like, mm-hmm. more, like, a larger pool of points to assign to your next one, as opposed to where if you just, like, let yourself die immediately. And then, like, if you die within the first stage, okay, you can assign one new skill attribute or something like that. Whereas if you get through a couple of stages, you're able to assign more.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of gives you that incentive to actually play through successfully as long as you can with one character.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Or maybe achievements for doing so.
Sure.
You get your Buster Sword on your 100th kill.
Nice. Yeah.
Something like that. You know, I'm sure there could be fun ways to spice that up.
Yeah. The X series does continue. The Mega Man X series continues on the PlayStation 1 with X4, and I believe X5,
so 6. So this is when Capcom sold out.
This is about the time where, oh God, Fujiwara, I think is his last name. We've talked about him before on a couple of different podcasts. Mm-hmm. This is around the time where Fujiwara leaves Capcom and goes and founds his own company. And we talked about this guy. He's an influential producer behind Mega Man and Final Fight. And
almost the entire roster of Capcom games. He's had a hand in some way or another.
Right. And general consensus is that now, like, the Mega Man series, at least the X series, is on a decline. So you get Mega Man X 4, 5, and 6, and I think 7 on the PlayStation 1, then you have X8 on the PS2. And that's where that Mega Man X series stops. And there's one more mainline Mega Man game, Mega Man 8, which is on the PlayStation 1. And then you don't have Mega Man 9 and 10 until the Wii. And they're downloadable games.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Kind of, to see the demise of a series like that.
Yeah. I mean, they do continue the Mega Man series on the Game Boy Advance. That's where the Mega Man Zero games are. There's 4 of those. And then on the DS, there's Mega Man ZX and ZX Advent. And then you get into things like the Mega Man Battle Network games. Those are also on the Game Boy Advance.
My God, if there's room for a game like fucking Broforce.
Like, I've heard about this game.
Why is there not... Yeah, why can't there be a good Mega Man game?
You know, there was a time. There's a pretty dark time at Capcom. And I think they're largely coming out of it at this point, where the only things they were doing were really big tentpole games like Resident Evil and remakes. That's all that they're really up to.
Yeah.
And I think this was after. I think they did Dragon Age. I think this was in between the time that they did Dragon Age. And they would do a Street Fighter every once in a while. So
Well, they've always had success, and yeah, they're crossover fighters and mm-hmm. just mainline Street Fighter games.
They tried to get real Western with games like Lost Planet, and unless I'm totally mistaken about who made Dragon Age, and Dragon Age is another real Western game. Whereas, and Resident Evil went super Western.
Don't they have Devil May Cry? Isn't that part of their...
Devil May Cry.
They got a lot of mileage out of that.
Especially on the PS2. After the PS2, I think they had Devil May Cry 4 and then a game just entitled DMC, mm-hmm. which nobody fucking liked.
Yeah.
So that series seems to be pretty dormant at this point. But then they have like all this really cool stuff that's just dormant, like Bionic Commando or Mega Man or like Final Fight. Like they got all these legacy series that if they were just to do a traditional like side-scrolling Mega, if they were to make another Mega Man X3 and release, I think people would go bananas for something like that, especially after the debacle that was Mighty No. 9, which was not Capcom, just to be clear. But people really wanted another Mega Man game, so much so that they threw all this money at a project like Mighty No. 9, which just bit everybody in the ass.
Yeah. Well, it only hurts the cause.
Yeah.
It makes it that much more difficult for them to release one, because they're going to be like, immediate comparison is going to be like, oh, this is like Mighty No. 9 in a certain way, and I'm not comfortable with that. And it's like, yeah, you're the side scroller, you're jumping.
But I don't know, there are rumors about a new Mega Man game. Capcom has continued to do stuff on the DS with their Phoenix Wright series. So
if they can do something like with those anniversary Street Fighter editions where they're crossing over generations, where it's, you know, you're playing this with this or this with this, and, you know, why can't they do it with the Mega Man series?
Yeah.
Why can't they have a boss rush that's got fucking 80 bosses, where it's the entire rogues gallery of villains, you know, where you get to mow it down in Berserker mode or something. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I feel like there's so much potential in the series. It's just a shame that not much is being done with it.
Yeah, and I think we've mentioned this on previous podcasts, but a lot of the complaints about the Mega Man games as the series went on is like, oh, this is just more of the same. And everyone would just kill for another Mega Man game. Yeah. At this point, like how spoiled we were back in 1995. But speaking of being in 1995,
I wanted a rail shooter.
But you know, the game industry is better with a healthy Capcom. Like the game industry is worse off because Konami doesn't really make very many video games anymore. Hmm. They're making a new Bomberman. Making a new Bomberman for the Switch, which would be pretty cool.
Nice.
I mean, not quite as cool as like a Contra, but you know.
Hey, you know.
I'll take Bomberman.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Right?
Yeah.
So, the game industry would be much better off with a healthy Konami, and the game industry is much better off with a healthy Capcom. Like, these are companies with long-running legacy series that deserve to have new installments deserve to have new installments to get people who are new to gaming introduced to these franchises. So maybe they go back and they play these older games and see where it all came from.
Yeah.
But speaking of time travel,
yeah,
for our one listener who's listening
at this point,
in 1996,
we didn't lose on the sports.
Listener from 1996, you need to buy Mega Man X3 and Final Fight 3. Oh, you have to
buy 5 copies, please.
Right,
give me one.
Because Final Fight 3 cartridge for that one, used on Amazon, $98.
That ain't bad.
$98.
God forbid you had the box art?
Oh god, I don't even want to know.
Oh,
I might have to jump on eBay for something like that, because all these copies on Amazon are cart only.
Yeah.
Used copy, cart only, Mega Man X3 on Amazon, the best website in the world.
Yep.
$240.
That's insane.
God damn.
$240.
That is batshit nuts.
God damn. I mean, what is the Switch going to charge? What are they?
$300.
So for $60 more, you can get the newest gen console.
A brand new console. Yep. Or you can get Mega Man X3.
Is it on the virtual console?
Yeah, Mega Man X3.
Oh, we've been fucking playing it on the virtual
console. Well, I thought you were just
You didn't slap in a cartridge and be like, hey, look at this thing I found at the thrift shop.
I figured you were asking for the listener.
Yeah, you know.
But the,
sometimes I'm not playing dumb. Sometimes I simply am.
Yeah, $8 Wii U Virtual Console. Restore points. Gotta fucking use restore points. Abuse the shit out of restore points, because this game is just going to be mean without them.
Yeah. Or find that list. Find the list of best order to play in.
Right. And even then, set a restore point before you fight the boss, because you don't want to have to go through the entire... Because there's a couple of mean traps in X3. And I actually railed against Mighty No. 9 when they did shit like this. And I really haven't said anything about X3. There's one that I remember. I can't remember what stage it was on. But it was pretty much a... You have to drop down a pit. And every time they have you drop down a pit, you should always just hug the wall. Take the safe route, because this one time, dropped down the pit right onto a bed of spikes. Yeah. And the game was like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
Fuck you, speedrunner.
Yeah.
It's just a real mean design choice, and I wish that they'd used more of those, like, crawling robots that chomp the ground and turn the ground into spikes.
That was a really clever mechanism. I kind of like that.
Yeah, I mean, you could put them on the wall and make jumps more dangerous if you're not taking on enemies quick enough.
Oh, that's even better, yeah.
Yeah.
Be an interesting power for you to have, even.
Right. That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like, set some spikes down for an enemy that's going to charge at you.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh. We could make a Mega Man game.
Totally should. I don't know, we're not.
Because we don't know how to program.
Which one of us is really good at making video games?
Making video games is easy. We've talked about this many times before. It's true. Anybody can do it.
Yeah, really. You know, you don't need anything.
All right. I think it's going to bring the show to a close. Got any more sports you want to talk about, or should we just...
No. Tennis happened. I don't care.
You're talking about a bit of hockey.
Yeah, let's talk about hockey.
One sport, but one...
So the Orlando Solar Bears. No. We have a minor league hockey team here.
Sure do. We also have an arena football team.
Yeah, not anymore. I think arena football's dead.
The Predators are... Oh, like the entire league is?
I think so.
Nah, they'll be back. Don't they, like, leave and go away every once in a while?
Yeah.
I always figured that Tim Tebow would end up playing for the Orlando Predators somehow.
That would be amazing.
Because...
Be fitting.
Like, he really wants to play football, apparently.
So his baseball thing did not work out?
I don't think his baseball thing worked out at all. I'll report back on the next show, but yeah, I'd heard like he had like some sort of minor league deal, but I don't think that worked out.
Cut to next show. So, the Boston Red Sox have signed. You guessed it.
The new left fielder.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd rather have Benintendi. I don't need Tim Tebow. Oh. He can play third base. Play third base for the Red Sox. That'd be fine.
Might as well.
All right. Next show is probably going to be the Pokemon show.
Sounds good. Hopefully, at that point, I will actually have beaten the Elite Four.
Right, because we're going to...
You guys got through the actual storyline of the game a month ago, months ago.
Yeah, I was not fucking around. Pick six and fuck you up.
Yeah, but we can start our Alolan runs.
Yeah, I actually have I have my team ready.
Really?
So you have it ready, yeah, in the bank, ready to go.
Nice.
And, yeah, just...
Just a free-for-all, pick any six you want.
Yeah, any six Alolan. Fuck, might as well just do it now. We're rambling anyway.
Yeah.
Cubone, I took the Marowak, Muk, Vulpix, Geodude, Raichu. Oh, God, I always forget the six. It's a tease for the next show.
Yeah, well, I mean, because there's a couple... You didn't take either of the darks. Well, I mean, Muk's dark, I guess. Yeah, but you didn't take Persian, and you didn't take...
Raticate, no.
Raticate. Passed on those two. You ditched Sandshrew.
Right, I didn't take Sandshrew.
So there's only one more that you couldn't... Executor?
Executor, yeah.
Okay, you're taking that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one.
So then you did not take Dugtrio?
I did not take Dugtrio, no.
Well, because you already got a...
I don't have any steals.
No. Because that would be the alternative for Sandslash.
Yeah.
But you're not doing that.
No, I'm counting on Muk to be my tank.
Yeah.
If needed. But anyway. Yeah, that'll bring the show to a close. Till next time, everybody.
Later.
Thank you.